Hello, and welcome to the Book Smarts podcast, where we talk about publishing data and technologies and send you away with some insights that will help you sell more books. I'm your host, Joshua Talent. So on the Book Smarts podcast today, I'm talking with Klaus Krog, who is the president, CEO, and co-founder of 2K Denmark, a graphic design, typesetting, and type design company that earlier this year launched the sustainable typesetting brand of services. Klaus also serves as the president of the Society of Bible Craftsmanship in partnership with the Museum of the Bible, a global network of publishers, producers, and suppliers who aim to nurture and highlight excellence in Bible craftsmanship. Klaus, thanks for joining me.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. Klaus and I go way back. We've been both going to the ECPA conferences for a long time and get to hang out together and talk about, you know, nerd out over Bible craftsmanship and other things. So, Klaus, I want to start today talking about sustainable typesetting. What is that and what does it mean for publishers?
Well, there are different challenges facing publishing today. So publishing broadly. One thing is, of course, economy. Inflation and other stuff has made it more expensive to produce books. A shortage of paper has increased the price dramatically. There are voices that say, well, reading books is not responsible. You should all read digitally instead. And we were thinking about all these things. Is there a joint solution to all these serious problems? And we thought, well, for the last 40 years, I've been making Bibles, designing typefaces for Bibles and typesetting Bibles. And we have always looked at the Bible as a tool. And the tool should be as efficient as possible. And an efficient Bible is very well readable, but on the fewest number of pages possible. So that, and with an aesthetics that shows the content or the and in this case the Bible, it can't be more important. It changes lives, and we want to be a, just give our little part in presenting the content of the Bibles to an audience, and hopefully it'll remain in their hearts forever. So it's important stuff we do. And so we take very much care of doing our very best. You might say being a Bible designer is just like go look for the last 1% or the lost sheep and make sure that you get everything right. Of course you don't. So the most important Bible you're working on, or the most important Bible in your life is the one you're working on, only maybe challenged by the next one that we will try to create even better. And from that kind of work aesthetics, we thought, well, can we merge that into a world of publishing where we need both to save money, to be efficient in what we do, to make sure that that books are being printed still, and try to combat the rising prices, and also the voices saying, well, books are not sustainable. Now, books are sustainable as they are now, but we've created sustainable typesetting to take everything we learned from the Bible, typeface design, the Bible design and Bible typesetting, and brought that into the book world. First of all, we have, if you look at the website sustainable types, and you might find samples of this, but you know, a general novel, we can easily cut down 40% of the number of pages. And
40%. Wow, and, that's a big cut.
Yeah, but we can. I said 37%. I sent some designs to a publisher in Nashville today, where we cut down his general textbooks with 37% of the pages. And at the same time, enlarge the typeface, change the typeface for something like Garamond to Sustainable Serif, which is a typeface we made especially for this. So his readers will experience a huge increase in readability on 37% less pages. So that's sort of we're, and let's just keep to 20, not overdo it. 20% pages less in a book. What does that mean? Well, it means that you save 20% of your production cost, not only the printing, or not only the paper and the paper production, but you have 20% less printing. You have another 20% less binding, sort of. And that goes for transportation and storage and shipment again. So in all steps of your production line, you would have the same cut in your expenses, 20%. And that's right down on your bottom line. Yeah. Now, at the same time, we live in a world where industry, if they can save 3% of their CO2 emission, they're willing to pay huge amounts and they might not even get there. Mm-hmm. Now, sustainable typesetting has a one-to-one savings in CO2 emission, because if you cut down 20% of your page count, then you cut down 20% of the paper needed. It cuts down the electricity and printing time. It cuts down on bookbinding time, but transportation, and so on and so forth. So we have a documented one-to-one savings of CO2 emission of 20%.
That's crazy.
That means, and we have calculated this in programs called Cradle to Cradle, and we know exactly that this is not greenwashing. This is a one-to-one savings. And if you think about it, well, it couldn't be anything else. But so we're very often asked, well, if you want to be kind to the environment, you read all your books on an iPad. Mm-hmm. And first of all, well, you can, it's readable, but the pleasure of reading, I think, is turning pages in a book. Mm-hmm. And we calculated sort of a lifetime, a calculation of CO2 emission, if you read your books on an iPad, or if you buy books, which one is the most sustainable solution, we calculated that you have to read more than 50 books on your iPad to have the same CO2 emission as the printed book. So if you only read 20, and there's not a lot of people that read more than that, 20, 25 books, the most sustainable way of reading is in a printed book. So okay. we've introduced this, and we've created a lot of interest, not least the book industry study group, that has accepted this as the only way to typeset books sustainable. That's also the BIC, the English version of the same, and the Canadian. We also the Green Book Alliance, and all these you go look for. They will have our logo, the sustainable logo, and they will tell about how we manage to create a much higher readability on quite a few less pages. So
yeah, that's awesome. So I want to talk about just kind of drill into one little piece here, okay. You know, something that you said earlier. It's saving all of these pages, but at the same time, you're able to make it more readable. Mm-hmm. You said that the font size itself, or the font face itself, is a larger mm-hmm. font face, so it makes it easier for someone to read. How do you do that? How do you fit more content on a page with a larger font face?
Yeah, well, exactly. We started this process in a year ago, exactly, last year in August, by a young man coming to our company, and he wanted to be an intern from an economics school. And I said, well, yes, there's two things you can work with. And one of the things were tied to take the quality from our Bibles to the general publishing industry. And that's what became sustainable typesetting. And he couldn't believe it. He asked me every day for the first week, well, is this true? Can you really do this? And the reason we can do that is because we are type designers. And if we hadn't been, it would be had been impossible to create the typefaces needed to do this. So what is a readable typeface? Well, you might say that there are three things that we need to get right in typography to create this this huge advantage. One thing is the type design. We need to design typefaces that, one, has a higher X height. So what's the X height? Well, that's the height of the little X in the text. That X height needs to be at least 50% of the total height of a letter. So the FG height or whatever you want to call it. So it's taking everything into consideration. You need at least 50% on X height. Then you need to open inner forms, because you actually read the white space in the inner forms more than you read the black space, at least to differentiate the different letters from each other. And then you need to equalize the hair strokes and the ground strokes in a letter. If you think about a letter, the lowercase e, and in Times New Roman you have a very huge difference in the hair strokes, the thin strokes, and the ground strokes, the thick strokes, and that only makes it more difficult to read. So that's thing one. You have to design a typeface with these qualities. Thing two is, we have developed something called cloud reading. And as I said, we read just as much white space as we read black space. And how do we all have some lazy brains, but brains don't want to work very much, at least not mine. And so we to create a reading situation where you read without using too much brain power, you need to make sure that, one, the distance between the letters serve two purposes: to keep letters from each other, so you can read each and every one of them. You don't, but they have to be apart. And the thing too, the space between the letters needs to create beautiful letterscapes or words. It's a letterscape. So what you read is, we all read like Chinese. We recognize a sign that's constructed with Latin letters put together to create a beautiful letterscape. That's what we read. But we don't read only the word.
Right.
We read the white space around it. So it's very, very important to adjust the word spaces according to how you adjust your letter space. And it's very important to adjust your letting according to your letter space and word spaces, so you create a little cloud. And in that little cloud, you place your letterscape. And that's the same cloud around every word on a line. If you do that, you create a very, very smooth and fast reading, and you enhance what you experience. Also, is the size of the typeface, because it becomes more easy to read. I've studied sort of all the little brain research to create that. I know what happens to the brain when you read. I know you should be very, very thoughtful about your kids when they start read, to crack the reading code, because it's difficult. You have to rewire your brain. St. Augustine in 323 said, well, that we have a monk. His eyes scan the text, and his heart understands the meaning, but his tongue is still. What does that mean? It means that everybody were reading aloud before this monk in 325. If you are going to read the Quran, the only right way to read it, some scholars say, is to read it as loud as you can hear it clearly without annoying others. And that's because we are born talkers and we are born listeners. We're not born readers. That's something you have to rewire your brain to do.
Interesting. So all of this sustainable typesetting work that you've done has started off, like you said, as part of the Bible design work that you've been doing. And I was reading up a little bit about some of the stuff you've done. As a Bible lover myself, and a lover of very fine books myself as well, I can tell you that, you know, Bibles are probably some of the most beautiful books, and can be some of the most beautiful books. Recently, you guys worked on a Cambridge Bible that took 11 years to produce. Sure. Tell me a little bit about the work that you're doing with the Museum of the Bible, with the Society of Bible Craftsmanship, and what it takes to create a beautiful Bible, and why 11 years is maybe a normal, or maybe it's a little abnormal, but maybe why is that such an important part of the process, to take that time?
Well, Bibles take time. it takes time to translate the Bible from the original texts. It takes time to identify why a new Bible translation is needed and so on. Mm-hmm. Sort of, first of all, we look at the Bible translation before we start thinking about design. Why? Because we want our design to represent the true image of the intentions of the Bible translators. So, by the way, you hear what I say. It's words, you hear what I say, but you hear it by the sound of my voice. So my voice, the sound of my voice and my accent or what have you, becomes an integrated part of this conversation and indeed communication all in all. When you decide typefaces, you sort of give the Bible a voice. You actually create the sound of the voice of God by creating typefaces. So that for Bible, so that's extremely important. And then we had that very much in mind when we did all the comfort print typefaces we made for HarperCollins Christian, 6 different complete typeface families to create the voice of the NIV, to create the voice of the KJV and the NKJV and so on and so forth. And that's, of course, a huge privilege to be able to create the voice of a Bible translation. Likewise, we designed the Bible Series typeface, and it's for a long time been all the time the CSB translation has existed. It's been set with the Bible Serif typeface that we made at the same time it was translated. And I think it's sort of, we made all the design and all the typesetting for all the CSB out there. And I think we take a little bit of the, take a little bit of pride in being a part of the CSB translating, moving from number 7 or 8 to number 2 on the last ECPA list of translations. It might be because when we make a Bible, you take extra care. You go look for the last sheep. You really don't want anything not changed that you could change for the better. Creating a Bible is so important that you get every detail right, so you don't go through the Bible typeset one time and not 5 times and maybe not 10 times, but more, because you want to go look for that 1% or that mistake that you actually can correct to make the Bible better. And why do we do that? Well, you can, if you go to the Museum of the Bible and have a look at the Bibles, they're a beautiful, beautiful exhibition. You'll find that looking at, for instance, the John Baskerville's center column Bible from 1763, you will, looking at just at the spreads, you look at experience, at least I do, a respect for the ambitions you have to create something as beautiful as that. And that's actually a bigger inspiration for me as Bible designer to look at the work that they've done, rather to be inspired by the solution they made. So the solution sort of on typography and, you know, tools change and aesthetic changed and stylistic history change also. So fashion changes and you wouldn't believe how much fashion you can see. The fashion from 1763 in the Rococo times is inside that Bible and inside the way John Baskerville designed his typefaces. So that's... so fascinating and so inspiring to take that as an inspiration. And also, I'm sure that sort of the idea of taking extra care and finding the last 1% they had as well. If you really get into designing and typesetting Bibles, get into designing typefaces for Bibles, you feel you feel the 2,000 years that this many people have really taken care first in retelling the stories, then in handwriting on parchment the text, then in all these different ways of printing. It really is an extraordinary legacy to take part in. And that's what the Society of the Bible, of the Society of Bible Craftsmanship is all about. It's really to verbalize or to exhibit or to show what Bible design really, how Bible design really makes a difference. This event on the Museum of the Bible, on August 26th, we have the second annual conference of Bible craftsmanship. We decided to make an exhibition of the best Bibles the last 20 years. And the last 20 years are Bible-wise really important because they represent a golden age of Bible production. I started the Bible business late 70 or something like that. And from there, where everybody had a Bible, a black with 8 points or 9 points letting Times New Roman. And it looked absolutely awful because there was such a huge loss of quality when we all from the mid of the 60s went from hot metal typesetting to photo typesetting. It really didn't represent anything of the quality that you had you had a legacy for the last 500 years up until then, from the first Bibles were printed. Everything was thrown away. We spent 40 years of reconstructing the same quality. So it was around year 2005. We had the same tools and the same possibilities and the same quality of Bibles that we have in 1965. And from there on, and the next 20 years, really meant a huge lift of quality Bible being designed and typeset and printed and bound and so on. And we show 30 of those Bibles in an exhibition at the Museum of the Bible, August 26th this year.
That's awesome. That's very great. Well, Klaus, I really appreciate your time. And I think that the work you're doing is very important in so many different ways, regardless of the type of publisher, regardless of the type of book. The sustainable typesetting is obviously important for all of us in publishing, and I'm so glad to see it taking off and people paying attention to that. And I love the work that you're doing with the Society of Bible Craftsmanship. I think there's it's beautiful to see where Bible craftsmanship has come, as you said, in the last 40 years or so. So thanks a lot for joining me today. Is there any where can people find more about what you do at 2K Denmark and at sustainable typesetting and the society as well?
Well, we have very easy addresses for our websites. The 2K website is called 2K.com. The sustainable typesetting website is sustainabletypesetting.com. And the Society of Bible Craftsmanship, you'll find at the Museum of the Bible website. You can register either on site or digital appearance in the show, the 26th. If you have any question, if you have any comments on what we've said, I will be very, very happy to hear from all your audience. Just send me a mail or look me up on Facebook or whatever.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, that's it for this episode of the Book Smarts podcast. If you like what you've heard, please leave a review or rating in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the podcast. Also, please share this podcast with your colleagues. And if you have topic suggestions or feedback about the show, you can email me at joshua@firebrandtech.com. Thanks for joining me and getting smarter about your books.